I will therefore call the February 1st, 2021 meeting of the Ulster County Legislature Energy and Environment Committee to order. And would the clerk kindly call the roll, please?
Absolutely. Hannah Jo Green.
Present.
Al Bruno.
Here.
Peter Creswell.
Here.
Mary Worrow. And Laura Petit.
Here.
Okay, and with that, let's see, would someone like to lead the Pledge of Allegiance? I see the flag. Let's see, whose turn? Laura, would you do it tonight?
I sure will, thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation
under God, indivisible, with liberty
and justice for all. Thank you. And has everyone had a chance to review the minutes and transcription of our last two meetings, November 30th, 2020, and December 9th, 2020? And if so, I would entertain a motion to approve both sets of minutes.
I'll make that motion that we approve those minutes.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Al. Thank you, Peter. And all in favor, please raise your hand or say aye. Aye. And anyone opposed? Okay, those meetings, those minutes are approved. We have an update from the UCRA. And then before we get into the resolutions, I would like to, it's not on the agenda, but I had agreed to welcome Amanda LaValle to give us an update on what the Department of Environment and all the departments in the county have been doing to meet the various resolutions that have been passed over the years that have to do with sustainability and climate solutions or climate change. So that I would like to put that in. There is one other topic that she will touch on, and that's how the composting legislation is going and whether or not we need to consider a very minor change in wording on that law. We won't get into that today, but just be aware that it's pending. So we have several people. I see Chairman Fred Wadnola and I, several of the other people, or Tim DeGraff, who would like to report for the update from the UCRA? Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the standard is for reporting. I know I had reached out several times over the last 7 months to find out what you guys want reported on. I'm going to roll with what Fawn had responded to me. I guess there were some questions about the feasibility study of a landfill. We're not there yet. We're looking into some other avenues with the hopes, actually, of maybe getting something done that's not going to cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars again. I know Ulster County has tried to site a landfill in the past, so I've been wary of laying out that money, knowing that there's a good chance that it won't happen. We tried to do the Gus regional approach. We spent over $100,000 on those feasibility studies, and nothing came of it. So I tend to be a little bit hesitant before we just dive into something like that. So just to reiterate, we are working on something. There's a possibility that we might get that done without having to expend quite a bit of money on it. Anything else? we're doing a compost expansion project, which is we're almost down about 20 pours, 25 pours, I think, left on that, and that's completely done. We're waiting on permit modifications, responses from the DEC on that, so that way we can move forward on increasing our food waste capacity to 10,000 tons. We're also, we'll be able to get our recycling education and bagger building up as well. Right now, staff is knee-deep in all annual reports, transfer station, MRF, compost, recycling reports. I've got auditors coming next Monday. So I guess I'll open up to any questions because I'm not sure what everyone wants reported on.
I think those are good highlights. Legislator Petit?
I have a question about the expansion of the composting facility. You were given, or there's pass-through money for composting, and you purchased an adjoining piece of property that was taken off the tax rolls. Also, in your solid waste plan, it said you would be expanding the compost facility to that new piece of property. Are you going to amend the local solid waste management plan to pull that out? And will you be paying taxes on that $700,000 piece of property now?
No, that property but became one parcel. So we only pay special district taxes on that. As far as the solid waste management plan goes, technically we don't have a plan yet because it hasn't been approved. So nothing has been kicked into motion. That won't start until everything's formally approved by the legislature and DC gives its final stamp of approval. So that document is always a working, living document. If we had proceeded with what was in the plan, you're talking upwards of $18 million to do that, everything that was in that. Nobody consulted with me beforehand. Financially, we don't have that. It's not happening. That's all on the back burner. We are looking into several options on what to do with the land. We don't have anything yet. We're scoping it out. There's obviously wetland concerns, but we're going to do something with it, hopefully. But I don't have anything right now. Maybe potentially a compost contingency could be moved there. But I don't have anything set in stone right now. And we can always, there's biennial updates, so we can always tweak any of this as we go as far as the plan goes.
Thank you.
Charlie Landy. We had a meeting on October 27th with the DEC, and the main purpose of the meeting was the initiation of the process to site a landfill. And it was well attended. Kelly Turturro, the Region 3 director, was there. John Petronella was there. Eller Catabiana was there. David Pollock and James Lansing, all from the DEC, with the main purpose of trying to help us solve some of our questions as far as the initiation of a local landfill. Some of the we came away from that meeting with four important points. One was the new waste diversion. We asked the question directly to Kelly Turturro: are there any new waste diversion methods on the horizon? And she said, she referred it to John Petronella and Eller Catabiani, and all three of them indicated that there are no new waste diversion methods on the horizon that we should be holding a landfill up in place of. And then the question was, Region 4 for Oneida Herkimer allowed 10-acre cells to start a landfill. You don't have to start a landfill with the 200 acres of startup. That was important to us. Number three, she indicated, I guess the question was, where do we go from here? And she said, you're going to have to, from everything that I'm reading and hearing about, you're going to have to hire a consultant. And so we, to that extent, we've been talking to some people. Stephen Parisio, who was a geologist for the DEC but is now retired, indicated that there was the possibility that if we talk to the right people at SUNY New Paltz, SUNY New Paltz geology program might be interested in doing it as a project. And we were talking about evaluating the 17 parcels that were left over from the Solid Waste Management Improvement Commission when it stopped functioning. And so we've made some phone calls and made some contact email, but so far we don't have anything on that. But clearly what came from Kelly Tatura was your next step where you are is you're going to have to hire a consultant to work close with the DEC. The meeting was taped and sent to all the board members, and Tim DeGraff has a copy of it, and I'm sure if you want to, he would send you a copy of that meeting. That meeting I thought was very important, and at least we touched base with Kelly Tatura, and we can now, you know, kind of pick up the telephone and talk to Kelly Tatura if we have to. That's all I have right now. I think Fred Bagnola probably has something.
Go ahead, Fred, please.
Well, yeah, it was a very good meeting with the DEC. They gave us some really good suggestions of things to do. And, of course, as Charlie alluded to, there's that map that floats around with the 17 parcels. However, you know, if we're going to look at those parcels, we need to contact the owners to see if they are receptive to, you know, you need permission to even go on their property in order to look at it. So that's where we are right now, looking at the map, looking at the parcels. We haven't contacted any people yet because the DEC recommended, of course, to have professional engineering and so forth. And again, that costs money. And since the legislature took away the bonding authority of the RRA several years ago, I am going to have a meeting with the chairman and to have a discussion about perhaps we do need to have some kind of bonding authority given back to the agency so we can go out and hire people. Otherwise, every time we need money, we're going to have to come back to the legislature. And I just think it's going to be very involved. And I'm sure that the legislature doesn't want to have the RRA coming every other month with problems about funding to hire professional engineers, et cetera. So I haven't had a meeting with the chairman yet. I have had a discussion with Chairman Donaldson, and we are going to have a meeting. It's very difficult because the DEC is not working. They are closed up tight. Everyone is working from home. And when you try to talk to someone, sometimes you have to wait several days for a return call, even if you get the return call. So they're a very busy home, I guess. And so it really is a problem right now with the pandemic. So hopefully in the next couple of months, things will get better and we'll be able to move on and start doing some work. We are also looking at other technologies. One from California, that they have a process out there. They actually got down to zero waste, if you listen to what Sierra Energy says. There's another one that's coming up in New Jersey, so that we want to go down and look at or have the people come up and do a presentation to our board. So there are a lot of things happening, but it's very slow and it's very hard to get meetings. So, you know, we are working on it. And the big problem is, you know, we don't want to keep running back to the legislature all the time either and bothering you guys, you know. And we don't want to have a net service fee. We haven't had a net service fee in 7 years. And we're trying to be cost effective and not be able, not have to go back to the legislature for cash. So that's about where we are.
I see Legislator Bartel's hand. I just want to make a couple comments and then recognize her. I want to go back to Charlie and the 17 parcels. I think that was very preliminary. I do think that you know, typically a feasibility study would might, you know, just be more comprehensive than right away going to those 17 parcels. Although I do recall that what the DEC did was disqualify larger parcels that had disqualifying features. So I can understand why, you know, there's merit in that. But I want to caution that there may be possibilities other than those 17 parcels. And I have one other thing, but let me recognize Legislator Bartels and then I'll jump back in.
Thank you, Chairman Green. I have a few things. I want to echo what Chairman Green just said about the parcels. I would be very wary of using that preliminary list from that commission's work as a directive to look at those parcels for siting. That's not what it was, an exercise in looking at what parcels existed in the county that exceeded a certain threshold, but it did no deeper dive, as Chairman Wadanola said. It did not include any conversation with any property owners, and it didn't look at what siting made sense, where in the county would make sense. It didn't talk to municipalities, and it didn't look at possibilities for multiple pieces of property being united to create one site. It was an exercise in showing that large properties did exist, but to head out with those 17 as a starting point, I think would be a very big mistake. As far as the issue of having to come to the legislature, I believe the threshold is $500,000, and a feasibility study is not likely to cost $500,000. And I'm a little confused, given that the plan that you're presenting for legislative approval says that you will begin the process of doing a feasibility study this year. And now I'm hearing, well, we may not do it because we don't have the money. I mean, I think that these things, every one of the directives in the plan that you presented to the legislature and that we talked about through this process are things that are going to cost money. So I'm just trying to get a handle on why it wasn't budgeted for in this year's budget, and why it's now being looked at as something that's contingent upon the funding first. I'll start with those two things, and then I do have more comments for later.
Okay, if I could answer Legislator Bartels, first of all, we're in year two of the plan, because the legislature hasn't approved it, and 1 year has gone by already. So we're in the beginning now of year two of the 10-year plan. And secondly, I agree with you 100%. The 17 parcels are just a number thrown out there that we don't need. First of all, I don't think we need 200 acres, but we went up and Charlie Landy and myself went up and got some maps of some of the 17 parcels. They have streams on them. They have water. They have wetlands. That's totally, you know, out of the question just for siting a wetland. So, you know, the 17 parcels are just a figment of our imagination. We have them. They're there. But maybe none of them would be suitable for a landfill. So, yeah, we need to look around the county. And that's one reason why it was suggested that perhaps we should go out to SUNY New Paltz and talk to one of the professors who's done a lot of geological work in Ulster County, who knows it, that might be able to give us some professional expertise and some recommendations and so forth. So, yeah, I mean, we're really just starting to look. And, you know, I think probably it's going to be another 2 or 3 years before we even come up with parcels to recommend, because you first of all You have to get permission, as I said earlier. You have to get permission. You have to talk to the property owners first to see if they're even going to let you on their property to test it, if it's feasible or not for a landfill. So there are a lot of questions that have to be answered before we would even think about a particular site. And for some of that, we could probably figure into our budget. But when you start talking to engineers, I did make some phone calls, and some of these engineering firms that I spoke to, they're looking at numbers like $200,000 to $300,000 to come in and do studies for landfills. And at this point in time, we don't have that kind of money. We spent $100,000 doing the feasibility for Gus, and that, you know, it was a good exercise, but it didn't come to fruition because of the, you know, trying to get three counties to work together on it. So there's a lot of questions that have to be answered, Tracy. You're absolutely right. And there's a lot of parcels, a lot of areas other than those 17 that we might have to look at. And it's an old study besides. That's those 17, that map, I think is over 10 years old when they did that study. So, you know, things have changed.
Anybody else have any questions?
Matt, I'd like to go back to the 17. I'd like to go back to, and I'm holding the minutes from the last Solid Waste Management Improvement Commission meeting before it went, before it ceased to exist. The committee appointed a subcommittee along with a representative of the Resource Recovery Agency Board, and I think that was Tim Rose, to meet with the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation Regional Solid Waste Geologist Stephen Parisio and intern David Naur to discuss the Part 360 regulations governing the siting of a landfill. Landfill siting studies from the 1990s were reviewed using tax map data and the criteria of a minimum of 200 acres. A sample of 93 parcels with single owners was identified. Of that list, 76 were disqualified. The list was then passed through several limiting screens identified to Part 360 regulations, properties that included state park land, aquifers, certain protected wildlife habitats, and regulated proximity to airports were removed from consideration. That was the 76 that were removed, leaving from 93, 17 parcels that were not evaluated that night because that meeting went well into the night and they stopped there. And so that was the end of it. The list was narrowed to approximately 17 possible locations for a countywide landfill. I think they should be, and according, and I had a conversation with Steve Parisio, and I'm sorry he's not on here, and he indicated that they should at least be looked at. And the only criteria was that there were 200 acres in size. And 200 acres is not an arbitrary number. How we arrived at 200 acres is by assessing the MSW flow that Ulster County generates, and that's 133,000 tons a year. And if you compact 133,000 tons a year, you come up with, at 20 feet deep, you 200 acres will buy 75 years for the county. And that was how we arrived at 200 acres. It was an engineering study. And I think Tim Rose was involved in that at the time. I think, I'm not pressing it. I mean, if it's the intent of this committee, not to go ahead and evaluate those 17, but it's a starting point because those are 17 200 acre parcels that have not been looked at. And a geologist would be able to, and Catherine Beinhoffner, who is a geologist, indicated they should at least be looked at. But that, again, that's up to the committee.
I have the highest regard for Steve Parisio, and I'm going to just, you'll humor me for a moment. Many years ago, and I'm not sure if it was Steve Parisio or Rick, I'm pretty sure it was Steve, we made a video that said, a slideshow back when you did overheads. Nature recycles, people should too, and the League of Women Voters all saved their garbage for a month. And they divided it up into the various recyclables, compost, and the residual waste. And we brought it all to Steve Parisio's house, and he had a family of four, and they stood by this garbage for 1 day, 1 week, 1 month, and 1 year. And we took pictures of it. And it was the league who contributed the garbage so that we could get those visuals. And I have the highest regard for actually both of them. And you also have the benefit of having Catherine Beinkaffner, who is arguably one of the best hydrogeologists in the region, on the board. So, you know, however you folks proceed, I think that Legislator Bartels and I were just cautioning that there might be other parcels, there might need to be an update, and so forth, and that typically a consulting firm would look at that, but they might not just zero in on those 17. I don't want to take any more time, but. Do any of the other committee, Charlie, let me just see if any other the committee members, and then we want to hear your answer. Okay, go ahead.
You talking to me when you say go ahead?
Yes.
Matt, okay. There's a problem brewing here. There is a battle brewing in the North Country that we should all be concerned with, and that is, it's the battle between the town of Waterloo and Seneca Meadows industry, the implications of which could be devastating to us, the RRA and Ulster County. If we are not prepared, we would need to reinstitute the net service fee to make our payments. And being prepared has to do with an article, and I have his email address. From Josh Durso. Josh Durso is the director of FingerLakes.com, the newspaper in the area where Seneca Meadows and the town of Waterloo are. And he makes some very interesting observations. And in the observations, we find out from Kyle Black, Seneca Meadows administrator, confirmed that the company had filed an application with the DEC to continue operations utilizing the middle area of the landfill's existing footprint. This application for the valley infill meets or exceeds all of the numerous and very stringent federal and state environmental regulations. So he's making the case to the town of Waterloo, and the town of Waterloo comes back and says, there's a local law here that the year is 2025 that the landfill is going to shut down, and if that's the case, we've got less than 4 years to develop a landfill. But for those of you who might want to get in touch with Josh Durso, who generated this information, his email address is Josh at fingerlakes1.com. And it might be a very good idea for the naysayers about what's going to happen with Seneca Meadows, because he points out very clearly in his article that the town of Waterloo has had just about all they want of Seneca Meadows in their town. And it hasn't started, but it sounds like there's a real head-to-head argument going to happen there. But I mean, the reason I bring that all up is that, and I'm not trying to cry wolf, but we've been talking about, for 20 years, we've been talking about a landfill, and we've been spending $8.5 million a year to haul 133,000 tons, 500-mile round trip, to say nothing of the carbon footprint that we're laying down. which is about 3,000 tons of carbon a year, with 18 tractor trailers going back and forth 500 miles from here to Seneca Meadows. And I'm bringing this all to your attention because it occurs to me that we're faced with an emergency that's looming down on us, and we're not really doing any, we're doing a lot more talk about it. And all we want to do is maybe look at those 17 parcels, and maybe there's a landfill here that could save a fortune. And when I say save a fortune, let me just carry it one step further, and then I'll stop. Seneca Meadows has its own landfill, and Bill Rabia is a friend of mine. And I've been to that landfill twice. And in one of our conversations, I said, so Bill, tell me, what's your tipping fee here for operating that landfill? And he said, $58 a ton. You know what ours is right now? $105 a ton, because we have to send it 500-mile round trip, laying down 3,000 tons of carbon a year. And the environmentalists aren't even getting excited about that. That's a disaster.
This is a case you've made very well many times, and I would venture to say there's no one on this call that disagrees with you. If there is, you know, please correct me about the urgency. And it's one, I'll recognize you in a moment. It's one of the reasons that Legislator Bartels and I had hoped that there would be a budget line in the 2021 budget to do a landfill feasibility study. DEC said you're going to need a consultant. I think it's a great idea to work with SUNY New Paltz if that can keep the cost down. But the very first step is getting a consultant on board, and that requires developing an RFP and developing the funding. I don't want to take any more time because we have several other things on the agenda, but I will recognize Legislator Bartels and encourage the agency to before you get people's permission to walk on their property, there really has to be a real landfill feasibility study. And the question that I asked was, should it be a budget? Well, I was told that rather than a budget item, it would need to be part of a feasibility, part of bonding. And I think for the landfill, that definitely needs bonding. I would ask Chairman Wadnola to rethink that. I don't think the legislature sees it. Most of the legislators do not see the agency coming to the legislature for bonding approval in sections of $500,000 as a problem that we don't want you to. We absolutely want you to, but I'm not sure that a landfill feasibility study that would cost half of that needs to be bonded. It seems to me that it could be a budget amendment, but I would like you to discuss it and get back to us. I did check with our attorney, and he essentially said sometimes landfill feasibility studies are part of the bonding for an entire landfill project, and other times they are just budgeted for as part of a consulting fee, and then the landfill itself would absolutely require bonding. So, you know, that's a question to be determined.
One thing quickly on the bonding. We had $40 million in bonding reserve in the agency, but in a sell-off for flow control, we dropped it to $500,000 so that we could get flow control. And that was part of the deal with flow control, if I refresh your memory. And that's why we don't have our own bonding authority. I just wanted to make that point.
Legislator Bartels.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that institutionally it was actually part of a deal per se, but right now the bonding authority for the agency is up to $500,000 without coming to the legislature, and the local solid waste management plan that you're presenting, that hopefully we're going to be looking to pass, says that you will be contracting a consulting firm to evaluate the possibility of permitting and constructing a local landfill or a bio-high tech facility within Ulster County. That's in year one, and Chairman Wadanola is saying that now we're in year two. Regardless, when you talk about the urgency of it, I think the only way that we can reflect that urgency is actually to undertake this study. So it needs to be budgeted for, and it needs to be moved by the agency, because that's what the agency's own plan says. So I would echo Chairman Green in asking you to strongly reconsider, and Member Landy's comments about the urgency only underscore that need to leave it out of the budget, and to say that it's the legislature's job to approve it is not in fact what this plan presents in any way, shape, or form. And I think I agree 100% with Member Landy that time is absolutely of the essence, but the agency has to take action on that. That's what the plan says.
Just one thing quickly, man, on that. And Tracy, I agree with everything you're saying. But have you tried to do business or contact people, especially county people, with this pandemic that we're living under? Nobody's in their offices. You don't know, and nobody's got their phone numbers. And it's very, very difficult to get in touch with these people. I think Fred Wadnall has been trying to get in touch with Dave Donaldson and is having trouble doing it. And I know for a fact that I've been up there also. The building is closed down because there were a couple of cases of COVID people in the building. The building and its people are closed down. So, yes, we would have been a whole lot further ahead with this if we were able to contact people, but that wasn't the case.
Respectfully, thank you. Madam Chair, may I respond?
And then I see Legislator Criswell.
And I absolutely understand the challenges of working in a COVID environment, and it's not to take away from that, but your budget does not reflect undertaking this effort. Your budget doesn't reflect undertaking this effort. So that's the thing that gives me pause, is that you haven't budgeted for undertaking this effort. And the response is that, well, you need the authority from the county, but you don't up until $500,000.
Just one thing quickly, Matter. You know what $500,000 buys today, Tracy? I'm sure you're a businesswoman. I'm sure you know. $500,000 buys a piece of equipment. You talk about a landfill with $500,000, or you're talking about doing some other project with $500,000? It don't work. Thank you.
We're talking about, and this is the last on this topic, except for Legislator Criswell. We're talking about the feasibility study, not the landfill. There's no doubt about the landfill requiring bonding, but we're not at that point yet. Legislator Criswell, please.
I just had a very quick comment. I just wondered if anybody's reached out to the folks at the BART Environmental Studies Project, or, you know, we've got some really good schools locally. Has there been any idea of using somebody from that to help reduce some of the costs for instead of going out and paying a big firm? You know, I'm sure there's some really smart people at that environmental studies program. And the other thing I want to say about this is I really hope that whoever is brought in to do this study is very kind of on the cutting edge of what's happening in terms of environmentalism, and really looking at it through that lens rather than, I mean, obviously looking at the lens of what's the size parcel, how would that work, but also, you know, what are the sort of most advanced environmental policies that are happening, or engineering situations that are happening right now. I'm not in that camp. I don't know about it, but I'm sure that, you know, there are people who are doing really cutting edge work in this type of thing. Like somebody mentioned a group in California. So I just hope that you head in that direction.
Okay, thank you. I at this point, I would like to ask Amanda Laval It didn't make it onto the agenda, but I had promised that Amanda could give us an update. And before we get into the resolutions, which could take some time, and we also want to give Dave Haldeman some time on the Ashokan Reservoir water release issues. And we have an open seat to fill. And also, I just want to be sure that everyone is aware that there's a very active zero waste implementation working group that is working on a zero waste implementation plan that is essentially a refinement of the zero waste action plan that came out of the Recycling Oversight Committee. And we're making, I would say, good and steady progress. So at this point, welcome, Amanda. And I'll let you introduce your topics and go ahead. And hopefully we can keep this to about 10 minutes. Okay, great. Thanks.
Good evening, everyone. I think we can keep it shorter than that. The first is just a really brief update on the food waste prevention law, which the first cohort of regulated generators. These are generators who are calculated to produce more than 2 tons a week of food waste, went into effect the 1st of January. And we had done some initial outreach to those generators, which were mainly larger establishments, many grocery stores, some larger businesses, hospitality on that list. And for all intents and purposes, many of them were already diverting and composting, and a lot of them were ready to start in January. There were a couple businesses that were looking for some additional guidance and support, and we've been kind of continuing the conversation with those folks. The state recently issued some guidance on their food waste law that we're looking at right now and really going over. And I think that will help to inform, Mana, as you mentioned, kind of some suggestions to revisions to the county law in order to kind of streamline the methodology and the process for identifying generators and how the county law interacts with the state law. So that was really, we'll be with you next month, I think, is the schedule in March to have more specific suggestions for language change in the law. So that was item number one, and if we're good there. And I believe the second item was there's some interest in thinking about, and you mentioned it too in the introduction, Mana, about thinking about all the resolutions and the initiatives that are on the books and how are those kind of implemented through our operational procedures, and some interest in thinking about, what's the most efficient way to do that? Is that kind of, yep, you're nodding your head. So this is interesting because this is actually something that is always considered in what we do. We're always, there are various laws on the books, including a good example of one is the low, no VOC paints, and also non-toxic landscape and pesticide management. And over the years, we've fostered a really good working relationship with the Department of Public Works so that they're always seeking guidance and information from environment on those products. And actually, it's one case where there's a lot more products on the market now than there were 5 or plus years ago, especially when it comes to low or no VOC paint products. So I think that's going very well. The other, another thing that we've done is, I just always want to remind folks about the Climate Action Plan and the list of actions that are included in the implementation section of that, including different ways of kind of looking at green purchasing policies. So we're also constantly working with DPW on the implementation of the climate action plan and how, when they're looking at buildings, these various actions are being reviewed very seriously. So that's kind of preamble, but what we're working on right now, which I think actually will just strengthen this, is that the county, we're preparing to do a recertification application for our Climate Smart Communities status in this spring. And we have been reviewing a lot of different actions statewide that communities have taken, and particularly we're kind of digging in on green procurement right now. We're looking at both materials, like how we handle waste, how some of that, the languages in contracts and how we think about materials, and also things like Energy Star, bids and specs for products, you know, evaluation of solar on rooftops, things like that. So for the last several months, we've been meeting with the purchasing department, and we've been really going through how to operationalize all of these things. And we're working with them cooperatively on reviewing their purchasing manual, which comes to about every year, comes to the legislature for review and approval. And currently we're kind of going down the path of having an addendum to that purchasing manual that will really encapsulate what we're talking about as far as green purchasing and sustainability. So that will be in that approved document, and that it's not only on paper, but we're talking to them about, okay, what of these things need to be kind of, purchasing can kind of have a role in being the gatekeeper, whether or not it's Energy Star specifications go into a bid document, or where we can use some of the county's financial and procurement systems to make sure that the individual departments also know that they have to be reviewing a purchase order or a requisition to make sure the materials are kind of up to our standards. So we're looking at all those pieces of how to really, really operationalize it. But that document will come to you as through the purchasing manual when it comes to the legislature.
Thank you. You'll have to excuse me. I have to plug my cell phone in. So if everything is crooked for a moment, that's what I'm doing. I would like to ask, if it's not too much trouble, if you could, you updated a document that actually Rob Parody put together many years ago on all of the mostly sustainability resolutions, but now it's sustainability and climate solutions. And it's an excellent, well-organized document. And I wonder if it's not too much trouble if you could put that link in the chat. And we'll also send it around to everyone. And then when you get a chance to just, you know, even make a little addendum of what was passed last year. But it's really very helpful. And I'm hoping that members of this committee and Department of Public Works will review that document. And, you know, our request is that as capital projects come up in Public Works, that the presenters will proactively cite, the resolutions that this is, an example of and so forth, so that we all get on the same page. It's really an excellent document. And I want to acknowledge former legislator, Kathy Nolan. Kathy and I were going to work together to create a checklist. And that was, these documents would have been the basis. I'm not sure if we'll actually do a checklist, but I do think that it would be valuable for people to refresh their memory, or if you're a relatively new legislator or a staff person, to go through those. I know that Amanda probably has them memorized, but and is working really hard with all of the departments, as she just reported. But I think, you know, because we have so many projects to approve and capital budgets to approve, et cetera, refreshing our memory in this time of global climate crisis is really a valuable exercise. Deputy Wright, did you have your hand up or no? Okay. Anybody have any further comments on or questions for Amanda? Legislator Bartels.
Thank you. Amanda, do you know where we're at with the analysis of the solar on all the roofs? We had put some money aside for that, and I know that we talked about doing a large-scale analysis, but where are we at?
So that wasn't we weren't able to pursue that in 2020. We were going to look at just doing a condition assessment of the roofs and then kind of take it from there. I think that, you know, there is the resolution that anytime a roof project is done, that has to be reviewed. But in general, we're finding I very much understand the all of the above effort that we have to do, that we need to be looking at not just larger parcels like we are with Quarryville, but parking lots and rooftops. However, when it really comes down to it, as far as the amount of time to with limited staff time, when we look at how we're going to get what we need to get done with solar, I frankly, larger projects like Quarryville are where we have to push, where we can do something like 2 megawatts. Rooftops are great, and we really do need all of the above, especially if we're doing roof work. But for 30 or 100 kW, sometimes it's not the best use of staff time to chase those projects when we need to be doing bigger things, like physically bigger projects. But
Legislator Bartels.
I just wanted to ask a follow-on to that. Are we actively investigating some of those an additional larger scale project or more?
So right now we're working on the Quarryville site, and then we have to look at more. So we don't have another one that's queued up to go out to RFP. But we are constantly looking at that. And we're also doing more with purchasing electricity from locally generated renewable projects for the county.
Legislator Petit put something in the chat that I think is worth.
Right. I do want to tell folks that we are doing rooftop solar at UCAT as part of the project there. When we did a walkthrough, we did an RFP for parking lot solar, and we took vendors to all the major buildings, to DSS and everything, to specifically look at the parking lots. And the one that a couple of the vendors pointed out to us is, you know, why aren't you on the roof at UCAT? So that's the one we're going after now. So that's our next project. And that was the clearest win as the next move to make as far as rooftop solar.
Legislator Petit, I saw you put something in the chat that I think is worth, in case people didn't see it.
Yes, in 2019, because we, every time a roof project came up, we were asking for a feasibility study to see if it would be feasible to put on rooftop solar. And then in our 2020 budget, we had provided funding for that. The thought was if we took a look at all of our buildings, that the next time we did a roof project, we could either make sure the roof was either specced out so it could handle it, or, you know, but at least this way we weren't doing it on a case-by-case basis. And the thought was we would then save money.
Well, it does take, you have to go pretty far in depth to get to that level of a feasibility study. There's kind of the, there's looking at the, as I understand it, there's looking at the roof and the condition of the roof. And then there's, you know, bringing in a structural engineer to look at the load bearing capacity of that roof to take the solar project. And that's pretty in depth. So that, that really should be done most cost effectively, because if you're doing, you should be either prioritizing your next two or three roofs that you're going to do, but doing 20 or 30 of them is really, given the time frame in which you're actually going to do some roof work, is probably challenging. But we were able to figure, you know, we are going ahead with UCAT as the most feasible roof to kind of do next.
Yeah, I share the concern that I believe it was 50,000 that was set aside, even if it was cursory.
So, right. And that was the green fund, which was, we were envisioning this as the first year of the green fund. So it wasn't additionally appropriated money by the legislature. And that was when we went through 2020 and looked at our budget and had to, frankly, look at our staffing, what we were busy, what we could do for the year, and knowing that the county needed to look at spending less money. That's where that that we didn't pursue that.
Legislator Bruno.
With all due respect to everybody here, this is all wonderful and great information and something we need to move forward with. I'd kind of like respectfully like to ask us if we can stick to the agenda, because none of this has anything to do with either the Resource Recovery Agency or any of our resolutions we had before us. This is great new business. It's great for at another time, but I think right now this meeting is going to go until midnight at the rate we're going, to be honest with you. And I apologize. Yeah. I don't mean to be rude. I just mean to be frank, and we need to stick to the business.
Okay. I agree with you, and I think it is time to move to the resolutions. The main reason I put Amanda early in the agenda, I know she has family. We all have family to get back to, and I did promise that UCRA report is typically in the beginning of the agenda, and rather than if the resolutions take a long time and want them to have to wait. But at this point, if there are no other pressing questions, I would like to get to the resolutions.
Madam, may I very quickly say something on this topic?
Sure.
I really appreciate Legislator Petit's question about the study and the comments on that. And, you know, I think Amanda and I really want to work with you to accomplish the things that you want to, and also to make sure that everybody understands the work that the Environment Department is doing in conjunction with DPW and purchasing. On this question, in addition to what Amanda says, I hope everybody can just remember that in 2020, every county department was asked to cut things that they wanted to do, and that the entire Environment Department staff was tasked to Project Resilience for 2.5 to 3 months. So there are very good reasons that things didn't happen in 2020. That said, I think, you know, following on what Amanda said about the importance of prioritizing these studies, let's her and I put heads together on this question of what makes sense to do with the roofs next, and we can report on that when we talk to you again.
Thank you. Okay. Let's see. First on the agenda in terms of the resolutions, for February is resolution number 242 of 2020, approving the Ulster County's local solid waste management plan. This has been in abeyance, but I believe that we recently received the documentation that we need to take action. Fawn, do you want to just confirm that? The I guess it was a final CECRA neg deck, and that has been received. Is that correct?
Yes, I sent that was forwarded to all of you, to all the full legislature, the copies of the resolution from the RRA with the neg deck.
And I believe we've checked with the county attorneys. There are no more loose ends that I know of. So is there any let's move for purposes of discussion.
Yeah, I'll move this for discussion.
And moved by Legislator Criswell, seconded by Legislator Bruno. Did you want to speak also, Legislator Bruno?
No, I just want to move for discussion, move it along.
Okay. Legislator Petit?
Thank you. I had spoken to some members of the RRA and had promised that I would try not to hold up the local solid waste management plan any longer than we had to once they finished the secret process. I would, though, like to amend this resolution and put in a further resolve that that once we get the Zero Waste Action Implementation Plan passed, that becomes part of the county solid waste plan as a standalone document. And I'm not quite sure how to word that.
I think that's a pretty clear wording. Is there any discussion on the wording or a second for that? Legislator Waro?
You're muted, Mary.
I was seconding it.
Okay. Is there any discussion? And I would ask the clerk to reread this since we don't have it written in front of us, so we know what we're acting on.
Hang on, let me just see if I can get the wording. And
yeah,
I'm not sure we can change the 10-year plan at this point.
We're not changing the plan. We're putting in a resolve that when we approve the Zero Waste Implementation Plan, because this is a solid waste plan for Ulster County. Okay, and that the standalone document we are working on will be part of that solid waste management plan.
Resolve that when the Zero Waste Implementation Plan is finalized and approved by the legislature.
Yes.
It will
become part of the Ulster County Solid Waste Management Plan. And we can add as a standalone document, Manna, or just leave that out.
Well, given all the steps that we asked the agency to go through because of, council and DEC and everything, as much as I want to add this, I'm not sure if we should without checking that it's okay to amend a plan that has gone through a certain process. I very much want to, and I absolutely think that that one of the reasons I would vote for this is the excellent progress that we're making in developing a zero waste implementation plan that also corresponds with the county's climate action plan, and
right.
It's even using the same format. So I would like to see some language, but I'm wondering, we don't have an attorney that specializes in this on this call. How do other people feel about it? Let me just poll the committee. All right, Chairman Wadnola, and then, well, let's go with Legislator Bruno, and then Chairman Wadnola.
I think it's a good idea if we can lock down the wording so it makes sense. I mean, it's one of those amendments that's in the event of, and so I don't see that being a huge issue or a huge deal breaker on this particular resolution. It's in case it happens, then this becomes part of it. That's all that is, and I think it's a good idea.
Okay, Chairman Wadnola?
Yes, I think you need to check with the county attorney at whether you can do that, because the document is the plan from the RRA, and that's from our agency. I think you need to check with the county attorney to see if you can amend through the legislature a plan of the RRA. So I think the attorney has to, check it out and approve it.
Charlie Landy?
Thank you, man. I just want to try to put this in perspective. The DEC approved this plan on May 1st, 2020. The RRA approved this plan on June 2nd, 2020. Cornerstone Engineering completed this plan and approved it on 4/27/20 at a cost of approximately $129,000, thus satisfying New York State DEC's statute for the need for a municipal solid waste management plan. It's one thing to talk about zero waste implementation plans and comparing it with a local solid waste management plan. There's a huge difference. The local solid waste management plan is there by state mandate. There's a statute that requires the local solid waste management plan, and we're toying around with it and delaying it here and delaying it there. It's amazing to me the DEC or the state hasn't come in and said, hey, guys, what are we doing? Thank you, Mana.
We have a motion on the floor that has been moved and seconded. I don't want to call a question until we resolve whether or not we need to check it. It wouldn't be so much with the county attorney as the legislature's attorney. Legislator Pete?
The solid waste management plan, if it was written for the resource recovery agencies and R&D, then they really wouldn't need our approval. This is the Ulster County solid waste management plan. And I think to address any concerns that the board has, within this document, we're also discussing who is responsible, and much of the zero waste implementation plan is the responsibility of the legislature. It's policies, it's local laws, but it is also part of our county vision and our county plan. So I don't know. I mean, I want to make sure that this document, doesn't get lost, and it is put in recognition that it will be part of our Ulster County plan. So, I mean, if there's any other wording that someone would like to propose, I'd be open for that.
Legislator Criswell.
Yeah, I just have two concerns. One is I'm not sure about the logic of marrying these two documents. The other is that the zero waste plan is not complete yet. It's actually, we're voting on something that hasn't even actually been finished. So I just feel concerned about that.
Tim DeGraff?
Yeah, the solid waste management plan was approved by the agency, and we got an approvable letter from the DEC as is. If you turn around and add something to this, I would advise, you recommend we add it at the biennial update. Because if you're basically approving a different plan now, and now we have to go back and do this all over again.
it's becoming, I've been to six of these meetings. I've left four of them with a splitting headache. Just being honest, this is getting a little maddening now. Do what you got to do, though.
Well, the meetings were to ensure that the legislature took action that was consistent with the law. And I do have a question. As much as I'd like to vote for this, and I agree with Legislator Petit, I think we do have to check on the secret process and perhaps have it as a separate resolution. We are in year one. It'll probably take us a few more months to revise this and get approval. Do anyone from the departments or any other legislator want to help us decide so we can move on and get to the other resolutions? What is your title, Amanda?
Amanda. I would agree with Chairman Wadanola that I think this should go back to legislative council, because I think that there it does confound the issues of both SEACR and also the adoption of the local solid waste management plan.
So in that case, we have on the floor a longstanding resolution and a request to amend. Given that, you know, we've waited many months, I don't want to wait any longer than next month, but I think it's going to take between now and then to speak with the various councils. And, you know, if we had council on the call that could advise us, but I do think we're going to need to hold this one more month. Legislator,
so do you want me to?
Oh, let's hear from Legislator Warro and then Legislator Petit.
Is there a way for us to address this? And if we find out we can't do it, remove it?
Or if you find out the attorneys are okay with it, you can add it on the floor.
Boom.
Ooh, that's a great idea. That way we can move it out of committee and have it pending. Legislator Petit.
Well, Al Bruno had his hand up before me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Thank you, Madam Chairman. I have to agree. We need to move this forward. This has been beaten up so many times for so long to the point where people's ears are bleeding at this point. I'm sorry, but I think we can amend this on the floor. I think that's a great idea, and I think we need to move it forward. While I agree with Legislator Petit that it would be a great addition to the solid waste management plan, it could still be added later on if necessary by the legislature. And I think we really need to move this forward and put it to bed at this point.
Legislator Partels?
I just want to also point out it could be considered at the first Ways and Means meeting, in which case it wouldn't have to be amended on the floor. So if you had an answer before next Tuesday at the first Ways and Means meeting, it could be amended. Sponsor's consent.
Perfect.
Okay, both of those are really good ideas.
I don't believe this is going to Ways and Means.
You're right. Sorry about that then. Yeah, then it's on the floor.
On the floor. I mean, and the question is not that we're changing the solid waste management plan, but that we include this is because, I mean, we have a plan for all of Ulster County. We have the one that's addressing just solid waste and one that's addressing waste reduction and zero waste. So,
correct.
Right? So we're not asking anybody to amend a plan. But I
Legislator Bruno.
Thank you, Chairman Green. Legislator Petit, in all honesty, I agree with you. But I think at this point, it's time to move it forward. We can, the zero, listen, all of us here agree with the zero waste management plan. We all agree that that's what this county should be going towards, but we're not moving anywhere. We're at a dead standstill until we get a solid waste management plan at all. We have nothing right now. And I think we need to do that first. If we have to amend it, either on the floor or at a future date, then I would be 100% for that. But I think we need to move forward with this. I really do. It's time.
And I think the main thing is, if I may, to get the language right. I'm just a little concerned to do it on the spot. You know, one is a plan that's been through a process, and the other is one of the reasons, as I said before, that I can, in good conscience, even though I don't agree with everything in the zero waste plan, I mean, in the local solid waste management plan, but I think most of those things can be worked out step by step. That was the consensus of the Solid Waste Improvement Commission. I just think it's a question of running the language by an attorney in a way that we can indicate that this is essentially a supplement to the existing plan without interfering with the extensive secret process that this plan has gone through. So I
just want to respectfully remind you that you folks passed laws like the food waste composting law. RRA didn't vote on that. The RRA had to work it into their plan because you passed a law. You guys passed the zero waste implementation plan and say, you know, that certain things will be recycled, you know, and then the RRA is going to have to do what everybody else in Ulster County has to do. So you guys are very powerful. And this, you're more powerful than this plan. This, you know, I just think your zero waste law is bigger than this plan and doesn't, you know, this plan can stand alone. And your zero waste can stand alone.
Charlie?
Amanda, 2-year biennial reviews were put, every 2 years, were put into this plan for just this reason. Because if you change the plan, it's every one of the approvals are going to have to go back and be redone. You're going to add 6 months to this plan before it even gets back to the floor. There's something wrong with what we're doing. That's what the biennial reviews were all about. What? You're only a year away from the first biennial review. Why don't we pass this and let it go? Thank
you. Manna, I will withdraw the motion, but Legislator Bartel had made a suggestion that when we do pass the zero waste implementation plan, that we will be putting a resolution forward to ask for the DEC to review the solid waste management plan and put this in as part of it.
Bingo.
And Legislator Rouro withdraw her second.
Okay. On the unamended resolution to approve the Ulster County Solid Waste Management Plan, is there any other discussion? And I'd like to call for a vote on resolution number 242 of 2020. All in favor, please signify by raising your hand or saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the resolution passes.
5-0.
Okay. Resolution number 8, confirming the reappointment of member to the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency. Before I ask for a motion and a second, I just want to say that the staff of the legislature, as has been the process for many appointments, I would say most, if not all appointments, even though this is a chairman's appointment, in order to make the best possible decision, these positions are advertised. These are volunteer positions and they're advertised. And the close date for that, for applications to be received is, I believe, February 8th. And I think we want to have all that information in hand before we act on this resolution. I would like to hold this resolution, and set a date, to, interview both the current chair of the board of directors, of the RRA and any other qualified applicants.
Yeah, I'd like to ask a question, Manager, if I can.
Yes.
If the deadline and the date was February 8th, why is this on our agenda today?
The chairman asked that it be on the agenda.
That's like putting the cart before the horse. I'm sorry, but I don't see why he would want, why that should be on the agenda before the date that it should be on the agenda. It almost seems counterintuitive.
That's why I'm asking us to hold. Anyone else?
Manor.
Yes. Go ahead, Charlie.
Manor. I just want to refer back to Bill Rabia, the executive director of Oneida Herkimer, when we were having a group meeting and he was asked the question, what do you attribute your success to with the Oneida Herkimer Resource Recovery Agency? And he said, my board members, the newest board member has a longevity of 15 years. So, you know, And every 3 years is we change board members like we change socks. You know, there's something wrong with that. And all you have to do is look at the success of Oneida Herkimer and understand why it's so successful. Thank you.
All right. Let's see. Fawn, just procedurally, do we need to take a vote to hold or postpone?
Nobody's moved it or seconded it yet, so.
I seconded it.
Oh, I'm sorry, who moved it?
Manna.
Are you seconding the chairman's the resolution or the motion to postpone?
The chairman's motion to postpone.
Okay.
Oh, different chairman. I was talking about the chairman of the legislature. And I think you were talking about me. Legislator Bruno?
I was actually going to ask a question.
Please.
At face value, I mean, from what I went on the website as of now, this was posted, I believe, on Thursday. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And as of today, to date, there was one resume that was posted, and that was Freddie Wadnola's. Has there been any other interest in this position since, for anybody's knowledge?
Yeah, I had Michael Bombs get in touch with me from SUNY New Paltz, at least that's where I know him from work, and he said he did fill out an application.
Okay, but they're not.
And I know of several others. So, you know, we've talked a lot about COVID. If people are sending it by email, Fawn would get it right away, but if they're sending a postal,
well,
the deadline
there has to be a date that it has to be received by
February.
Honestly, I'm not trying to be rude. I don't care how they send it, if they send it by Pony Express, but the received by date, if it coincides with our resolutions and with the time frame, then that's one thing. If it's not in by the received by, then it's not considered. I don't think we should consider it. I mean, this is not something new. I mean, I'm sorry, but
I'll second that, Hannah.
Didn't we talk about this a year ago when we had this exact same situation?
We did. And
we made a decision as a group that we were not going to do anything until we had the end date. And then we were going to look at everything and then we're going to move forward. So why are we chewing this cabbage again? I don't get it.
Well, I tried to prevent it by bringing this up in probably mid-December, certainly by the end of December. We are in a COVID time and things are not normal. And there's been problems again with the IT of the application. I went on there to see if the application process was working, and the UCRA was not, positions were not listed. And I've been in communication with Fawn and with Vicki, and the best thing that could happen was that the notice went out when it went out, and the closure date, in order to allow people, I think it was 10 days, the closure date is February 8th, and we can set a special meeting to do interviews of anyone who, as I said earlier, meets the criteria of getting it in on time and has a viable application, including Chairman Wadnola. So I'd like to set that date, but first we have to resolve that we're not going to take action on resolution number 8 until we've had a chance to review the applications that come in on time. And yes, it is deja vu. Sorry. I think we're all doing the best we can.
Sorry, I didn't mean to sound harsh about that. I just remember we went round and round on this exact same thing. So sorry.
Yeah.
All right. So all things considered, we are taking no action on resolution number 8. We will
You have to vote on it. You have a motion and a second to postpone, is what I thought.
Postpone. Okay. On the motion to postpone, all in favor? Aye. Anyone opposed to postponing? Okay. The motion to postpone carries for resolution number 8. And Fawn, can you kind of do a doodle to find a time between February 8th and our March meeting to do interviews?
Yes, I'm going to look at the 11th, the 17th, and the 18th, I believe. So
okay, great.
I'll send it.
I don't know that we can resolve that right now, but Fawn will follow up. Resolution number 44, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a payment in lieu of taxes agreement with 103 Sparkling Road LLC for a solar energy system pursuant to the real property tax law section 487, Department of Finance. Any discussion? Do I hear?
So this is the pilot that we want to rename and not call it a pilot anymore, but a they're giving us a payment. We're happy that they're giving us a payment.
It's a so-called reverse pilot. They are
reverse
pilot. Exempt from paying taxes, but they're using services. So it's essentially a voluntary payment. Legislator Bruno?
Actually, Legislator Criswell answered the question. I'm like, is this really a pilot? Because my understanding was it's actually not a pilot. They're not required to pay taxes to begin with.
Could somebody please move resolution number 44?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. And I saw Legislator Petit had her hand up.
I was making the motion. It's fine. Yeah.
All right. On the motion, authorizing what we are familiarly calling a reverse pilot, but resolution number 44, all in favor?
Aye.
Please signify by raising your hand and or saying aye. Anyone opposed? All right, the motion carries 5-0. Resolution number 45, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a multi-jurisdictional payment in lieu of taxes agreement with CES Marbletown Solar LLC, the County of Ulster, the Town of Marbletown, and the Roundout Valley School District for solar energy system pursuant to the same real property tax section of the law, section 487. Motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, moved by Legislator Bruno, seconded by Legislator Criswell. All in favor, please signify by raising your hand or saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, very good. Motion carried 5-0.
Bruno and I are giddy at this point. Sorry, Manager.
I don't blame you.
I apologize.
Take a moment because it's a very important environmental issue to call on Dave Haldeman, who chairs the Ulster County Environmental Management Council. For several years, there has been concern, actually since the previous administration, on the water releases from the Ashokan Reservoir and the extent of turbidity it causes in the lower Esopus. Dave Haldeman, can you give us a quick update on this?
Try to be really quick. Everybody can hear me?
Kind of.
Is that better?
Yeah.
I mean, this is basically, as mentioned, this is not a new issue. It's an issue that's come up multiple times over many years with very turbid, very muddy releases from the Ashokan when the Ashokan gets full to needing releases. And it goes through many towns in Ulster. I think Olive, Hurley, Marbletown, Ulster, Kingston, Town of Kingston, Town and City of Saugerties, City of Kingston. Hopefully I've gotten them all, but many towns are affected. And there's a lot of concern on our council with regard to this because the DEP has never really taken any steps to adequately address the damage that may be done to the lower Esopus. These towns, I might mention that they look at the Esopus as an economic and an environmental issue for them, and they've spent a lot of time, energy, and money trying to work on improving the Esopus over the years, whether that's for removing debris, removing invasive species, improving beaches, boat launches, canoeing, kayaking, hiking, biking. Go down the list of what the towns have been trying to do to make the Esopus a healthier and a more attractive place for the local, for their local constituents, as well as outside tourism. I think we all understand that the silting and the erosion that take place affects both fish and wildlife, plant life in the river, as well as being just a visual. People describe it as an opaque, muddy mess. And so what we're asking, or what we'd like you to consider, is either through your committee a resolution to the DEP to ask them to carefully come up with a plan to either neutralize or dilute the water coming out of those releases, either from the eastern reservoir or from the upper part of the Esopus, so that the water that comes down during these releases is not as turbid, is not as opaque and damaging as what we see again and again and again. If you would prefer, the Environmental Council is willing to work on a resolution which we can present to you with regard to this matter. That's all I have to say in background.
I was just going to suggest that you consider providing providing us with language. Legislator Bruno?
First of all, thank you, Mr. Holloman. I really appreciate your input and your presentation. As a legislator from Saugerties, along with Mary and Dean, these releases that the DEP, they affect, I'm not diminishing Hurley or anybody at Marbletown or anybody else, but I know Saugerties relies, a huge amount of our business relies upon the Esopus Creek. The tourism from everything from Diamond Mills restaurant and hotel to the fishing to the beach to the kayaks. It's incredible. From what I understand is the whole one of the purposes of this is so that the DEP, New York City Water Supply, doesn't have to build a filtration plant. They use the Esopus Creek essentially as a flush mechanism, flushing it down the toilet, and ultimately, Saugerties is where it lands before it hits the river. If you look at a satellite image or a Google Earth of Saugerties and the Esopus Creek at this time, you will see, you can actually tell the tide by the color of the Hudson River at this point. It's killing an immense amount of fish. It's destroying an ecosystem beyond your comprehension simply because New York City does not want to spend the money to build a filtration plant. And I think we're at the point now where we have to pressure build our filtration plant, not on the backs of the Ulster County taxpayers, tourism industry, and the industries that rely on the Esopus Creek, because that's what they're doing. They're saving their money and we're paying for it by them flushing it down here. And there's nothing that I can say. I'm so angry about it. Every time I cross the bridge and I look at the creek and I see the chocolate milk that they're sending down to us for weeks and weeks on end. And then even after they're finished, the amount of silt that they put down requires dredging the lower Esopus so that boats can navigate. So pleasure boat. I mean, they're destroying an entire economy just by opening their gates, and they don't really care. So, I mean, as strong as I would be in favor of wording anything as strong as possible as a legislator and as this committee to address this issue. This is absolutely insane what they're doing. And I mean, I guess, I don't know, maybe Mary can jump in and help me out here.
I believe we have resolutions between 2012 and 2014. I found 99 of 2014 that was about this topic. And I know that the legislatures held a legislative session at New Paltz College the same night DEP was holding a public hearing about their water releases, so that the legislators could testify at that hearing. I'll see what I can find in our records about that.
Thank you.
And if you would share that with Dave Halderman, since the EMC is offering to help us create language, that would be great. Anything else on this topic? I think it's a very important topic. And I'm hoping
it probably
a good solution. That's, and that may be a filtration plant, but there may be other alternatives. Legislator Bruno, and then former legislator Nolan.
Sorry, Kathy, I don't mean to interrupt you. We really don't have a choice. I mean, they call themselves the Department of Environmental Protection. The only environment that they're protecting is their water source to New York City. They could care less about the environment around the reservoir or south of the reservoir, whatever it was, south, north, how the creek runs, because that environment is being completely destroyed by them. By their own, the nature of their own name drives me nuts, because they're not protecting our environment. They're protecting their own. I'm sorry. Kathy, I'll let you go now. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I have to. Thank you. I just wanted to point out that there is actually a public comment period that is open on the draft environmental impact statement on these water releases. And the written comments need to be in by March 16th. There's a public comment period on February 4th, this Thursday. And I put the link to documents that have all the sign-in information. You have to pre-register by February 3rd, Wednesday, if you want to speak on Thursday. And the public comment at present is set to close on March 16th. There's a movement to ask for that public comment period to be extended. And so people coming on Thursday to request that. So there's more time to put together these formal documents. That would allow more time for a resolution from the legislature. If there's not enough time and that period is not extended, I would urge the legislature and maybe this committee to look at submitting a letter to be included in that comment, the public comment period on the DEIS. So I hope those links will be helpful to people who want to do more on this.
Thank you, Kathy.
I'm going to also ask, are there, the work that the EMC is doing could probably double as, you know, their recommendation could double as public comment from this committee. Okay. Thank you. Thank you all. One other item of business, and then we can adjourn.
Excuse me, Mary Jo? Mana?
Hello.
Stay
home. Go home.
Okay. I will be speaking on the 4th on the same topic. And we will... we will, within a couple of weeks, we'll try to get some sort of a resolution to you or some wording, at least before your next meeting,
yes.
What we would present formally to the DEP in this hearing. Great. That's okay with Amanda.
Yeah, and then our next meeting would be in time to make the March 16th deadline for written public comment.
Yeah, could I bring up one other quick little thing? Very quickly, we had Dennis Doyle with us at our last meeting, and he brought up just one interesting point with regard to solar installations, and that is that the State Department of the Environment, the State Ag Department, has decided that solar installations can be placed on prime farmland. And that's of concern to us, but I just wanted to bring it to your attention. It's the change in the language from the State Ag Department.
I would also strongly encourage folks, and I'll get this information to the committee, and Fawn can send it more widely, to look at the work that Scenic Hudson has done. They've developed a municipal solar siting toolkit that really is the best practices. So I think it's critical that we do protect our prime farmland and also forested land and wetlands and other ecosystems that draw down and sequester carbon. We have marginal land. We have lots of other forms of places to put large scale solar, and a lot of work is being done on that. Given the hour and the fact that we have talked about zero waste planning, the only other thing on the agenda is that we have an open seat on the Climate Smart Committee. We all congratulate our legislator Criswell on his relatively new appointment, but it conflicts with his ability to serve on the Climate Smart Committee. I serve on Public Works, so I could either represent Public Works or the Energy and Environment Committee. I just can't do both. And so we're asking both committees, but is there anyone who is willing to serve on the Ulster County Climate Smart Committee, which is very much rejuvenated, active, and doing a lot of important work on the climate crisis?
Matt, if I could.
Please.
By the way, I appreciate your phone call today. I'm interested, but it depends on the timing of when the meetings are and when I can make it. I'm on a lot of committees, not only with the county, but also with the town and besides my job.
We have been meeting at 7 on the fourth Monday. I don't know if that works with your schedule, but I should have included that in my message.
Yeah, it may. So I have to do a little thinking about it, but I'm interested in it. I was on the Climate Smart Committee in the town of Sawridge when we became a climate smart community. So I can bring some of that experience to the table, and what we did. And I like the whole idea of it, but I gotta make sure I'm not spread too thin, to be honest with you, with all the other issues that I'm on. So I'll talk to you during the week if that works.
All right. Please do get back to me and then we can, deal with it in March. It really is a valuable and robust.
But I asked you this with all honesty too, have a plan B.
Not yet, but we'll also bring it up at Public Works. That's where we can get our plan B.
Okay. All right. I mean, I will look into it. I will check not only with my other schedule, but with the schedule that's in the other room, my wife. So.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. With that, is there any other new business or old business? Any other closing comments? And I want to thank everybody for their participation. I think it was a good exchange, and I really think we're all on the same page. We're coming from different places, and congratulations to the RRA. Well, it hasn't passed the legislature, but it's out of committee, the local solid waste management plan. So, Legislator Petit, if you want to pursue, either an amendment or another resolution, regarding the zero waste implementation plan, I'm sure we would be glad to entertain it, but at least, I'm hoping that this will allow the agency to move forward with a landfill feasibility study and some of their other plans. Okay. With that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Make that motion.
I'll second it.
Legislator Bruno, seconded by Legislator Criswell.
Sure.
Okay. Any other?
It's been a pleasure. Thank you all.
It's been great. It's been fun.
All in favor?
But it hasn't been great fun. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
All right. Meeting adjourned at 8:15.